Welcome to the PowerPress Podcast. My name is Mackenzie and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. The past 2 weeks, Blueberry has been crazy busy getting ready for the release of PowerPress Sites, which is Monday, May 9th. So this week, Todd is filling in for me and going to be talking about a lot of podcast technology. So if you're a fan of the new media show, this will probably be a good extension for you. Before we cut into that episode, I just wanted to remind you all of the Podcast Movement promo code that we have for you if you are interested in attending this summer in Chicago. Our promo code is Blueberry. So whenever you're checking out, just put in that code and you'll save $40. I will also put a link in the show notes as well if you'd rather go that route. And we hope to see you at Podcast Movement in July. Okay. Thanks for listening, guys, and enjoy this episode with Todd Cochran.
Hello, everyone. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm the CEO of Blueberry / Raw Voice, and Mackenzie has asked me to, I guess for a better word, pinch hit here and do some content for the PowerPress Podcast show. The team, as she probably has already indicated, is just absolutely nuts busy as we're trying to get ready for the launch of PowerPress Sites, which I'm sure she's filled you in. Many of you probably already subscribe to the new media show, which I produce with my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee, every Saturday that I'm in Hawaii. Actually, we're going to do a show this weekend when I'm not in Hawaii, so that's not necessarily true. But a lot of things that I'm going to talk to you about today are things that we cover on a regular basis on that show weekly. If you're not subscribed, I encourage you to do so because I cover topics on that show that are often not covered by Mackenzie on this. So I'm going to cover some stuff that has been going on for those of you that are not tuned in over there and get you up to date on basically what I've been doing. Well, this couple of weeks, I'm on the West Coast, and I'm going around and doing our basically semi-annual media agency meetings, meeting with media vendors, talking about your shows, basically wrestling up advertising and seeing what the advertising space is. Today I'm coming to you, well, not so close to the West Coast, but it's, I guess, west of the Mississippi. I'm in Texas for another day, and then I head out. But that's what's happening presently. But just a few short weeks ago, I flew out of Honolulu to L.A., went into Hollywood to the Worldwide Radio Summit Conference. Forget, it's one of the two. And had been invited to speak by Seth Ressler of Jacobs Media. And during that two-day event, we were scheduled to go Friday near the end of the conference. And usually it's not good to go near the end because people are getting antsy and wanting to go home. But there was four podcast-specific sessions during the 2 days of the conference. And at the end, I sat on a panel with Andy Bowser from Panoply, a lead from Audible, someone from WNYC, and of course, yours truly. And, you know, we were basically talking to radio folks about podcasting, and I won't bore you with the details, but I want to share with you one thing that really was interesting. At the very beginning of the session, Seth asked the radio audience how many of them were currently creating podcasts, and about 50% of the hands in the room went up. Now, that was considerably up from what Seth said from the previous year, and we know from basically our phones ringing that we have a lot of radio folks that are jumping into the space, and a lot of them are, you know, fortunately using our tools, PowerPress, and working with the partnership we have with Triton to help them monetize. Well, the second question he asked was how many of them were creating original content. Now, you think about radio stations. Many of them today are taking a morning drive, a 3-hour morning drive or 4-hour morning drive, and they're taking, you know, segments, maybe a segment of interview with a coach or with a band or something that's special, some special segment that happened on the morning drive, and taking that 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 minute segment, making that into a podcast. They've kind of gotten over the hump of just taking 3 hours of morning drive and repurposing that as a podcast. That's not fun for any of us, but I think we all can agree in our local communities, if you're not listening to Morning Drive and you want to listen to that interview of that high school coach or the college coach or the rock band that's in town, that might be compelling content that you'll want to subscribe to. So that, you know, that's repurpose. So when he asked how many of them are making original content, and nearly 50% of the audience's hands stayed up, I was pretty flabbergasted. I didn't think the number would be anywhere near that. Now, we didn't have a full room during that session. There was a number of folks around in the hallway, you know, basically as near the end. So the important people were obviously in the room. And so we had a pretty good panel. We talked about, you know, some key things about podcasting, a little bit about metrics, which I'll talk about here in a few minutes. But overall, a decent event. So I flew out the following day and went to Vegas for the was there for the NAB conference. But on Sunday, prior to NAB opening, we had the I had the opportunity to go to the RAIN conference, and this is another kind of radio centric type of event, but yet two or three sessions in a single day session dedicated to podcasting. Ginny from Hubbard Media, the ones that bought Stake and Podcast One, she spoke. They had a panel on podcasting as well. Francisco over at Spreaker, some mid-roll folks were on there. But there was one part of the RAIN conference that really got my attention. And I think for those of you that listen to this show, should pay attention to. There were some comments made by some mid-roll leadership that I really was taken aback by. Essentially, he said that if you're not a top 200 show, and whatever category you may be in, those shows below the 200 are just general chit-chat shows. That's how he referred to them. And that it was going to be very hard for the shows that are in the, you know, under the, below the radar to find advertising and to find a way forward with their shows to be monetized. And I really took offense to that because I know, based upon looking at your numbers, those of, and again, I don't go specifically looking through numbers, but when we're building campaigns, we're looking at shows. I know that there are many of you that are listening to this show that are not a top 200 show that have incredible numbers. You know, I kind of laugh at, take my own show, my own tech show that I've been doing for 11 years. I earn a full-time income off my personal show through a single sponsor, yet I'm not in the in the top 200. So it really took offense to what he had to say because there's huge, huge opportunities in the entire podcast ecosphere. We've only begun to scratch the surface on filling inventory. You know, there's millions upon millions upon millions of podcast downloads, impressions that are left on the table every month and not monetized because they're just not that big of advertising dollars in the space. And we've started to get pretty tough on media buyers. We're not, I'm out of the business of allowing a media buyer to review 30 shows for a buy and then only pick five for the campaigns. We just feel that the days of them cherry picking have come to an end. And we're going to be very, very aggressive in making the media buyers take the bundle. Take the bundle of shows that we suggest to them from an advertising standpoint. With that said, talking about advertising, we do have an update to the advertising application If you haven't been into the podcasters dashboard on blueberry.com lately, please go over there. And especially if you're interested in having advertising from us, and make sure that you fill out the advertising application. We ask you some new questions. We're trying to get a little bit deeper commitment from many of you because oftentimes when I do this legwork and get an advertising deal together and then we come back to you, sometimes the answer is no without a good reason. And even though that you've asked us to shop for advertising for you. So I'm not asking for any type of long-term commitment, just asking for more of a verbal commitment that you will be wanting to work with us if we bring you a viable advertising deal. You always have the right to say no. We'll never remove that. But we want a tighter commitment from those of you that want to work with us. So definitely get over to the Podcasters Dashboard and get that application updated. It's very important that you do. Again, it's the advertising application on the Podcasters Dashboard at blueberry.com. So that and some other things at the Rain Conference really kind of solidified some thoughts that I've been having, some things I've been seeing in the space, along with a number of ongoing podcasting articles that drive myself and leaders in the podcasting community absolutely crazy. They will, a recent one, and it's again, it's if you watch the news, if you watch the podcasting articles and you look who they talk to, sometimes the articles are nothing more than a hit piece. Someone suggested an article to a writer, fed them a bunch of, well, let's be frank, bullcrap statistics or information, and then the writers kind of fell through and written article based upon the input that they have gotten. And they're not, oftentimes, they're not heavily scrutinized articles, but it goes back to, and I'll come back to the genesis of the article in a second, but I was talking with some folks in the space, well-respected big companies in the space. And it was a VP at a company out of New York, not specifically a podcasting company, but a service company that works with podcasters. And he said, quite matter of fact, I absolutely hate downloads. I wish they would be abolished. And I kind of reared my head back a little bit. And I said to him, I said, who are we to dictate to the listener consumer how to listen to podcasts? Podcast genesis come from the ability of listeners being able to listen on demand when they wanted to because the media was on their device and they didn't have to have a big fat internet connection. I said, while internet today is on mobile devices, is purely capable of playing podcasts real time and streaming them, I said, but the sheer fact of the matter is that you have, on average, you know, I don't know about those of you that are listening right now, but, you know, I look at the data plan that I have with my family. I have three children. Two are going to college. Part of the deal was if they went to college and were able to keep their grades up, dad would pay for the cell phone bill and they would have to be on my data plan. They use a lot of data. And I've had to, as a fiscal responsible adult, keep the data plan limited so that I can make sure I can pay that bill for five phones every month. And many parents, many adults that are listening to podcasts today are in the same situation. They may have three, four phones on the same plan, to 2, 4, 5, 6 gigs of data, and they just have to be conscious of the data that they're consuming. So who are we to tell our listeners that you have to live stream our shows? And if we did, our audiences would tumble. The statistics bear out that people are still in mass pre-downloading the show and listening later. Well, people say, well, you can't tell if they listen. Well, yes, we can because of iOS having such dominance today. We can see trending data on your shows to determine if an audience is staying with you over a long period of time. So it's he was taken aback because I was kind of aggressive with him on that stance. I said, sure, maybe in 5 or 10 years, the audience members will change their listening habits and they'll be more inclined to just click play on their tablet or their phone and use their data plan from their mobile carrier. I said, but, you know, you as a VP of a big company, I said, you make big money. You probably don't share a data plan with your wife. You know, you got plenty of bandwidth. I said, you know, you're in a economic structure level that's maybe different than some podcasters out there. Again, who are we as content creators to dictate how our audience members listen to the show? We want them to make their choice. If they so are inclined to click play on your website or click play at having not downloaded the show, great. That's their preference. And we shouldn't dictate anything to them. So leading back to the article that I saw that was actually forwarded to me by a well-respected woman in the podcasting space who runs a major podcasting network. She sent it to me. She said, Todd, this is something for you to talk about on your new media show. Well, I will be talking about it this coming Saturday, but today I'm sharing with you that there's a concentrated effort by radio, big streaming injection companies, to change the face of podcasting. They want themselves to be in front of our listeners. They want to be able to use these multi-million dollar injection systems that they've developed for other platforms and build advertising basically into a streaming scenario. And again, it's not live streaming because still, even if you are on an app and you haven't downloaded the podcast and you click play, it's really a progressive download. People like to call it a stream, but it's still coming from a server someplace. They really want that to be the default for all our listeners because it's easier then for them to say that they have good, accurate metrics. Well, again, I go back to a saying I've been having for a long time. The people that aren't happy about podcast metrics are the folks that don't have podcast metrics. So I'm just telling you straight up that there are folks in the podcasting space today who really want the download to go away. You know, even my co-host Rob, because of Spreaker, his association with Spreaker, they do a lot of streaming and they prefer streaming as well versus progressive download. What it really is, because it's really not a stream if you're listening on demand. No one, few people are doing live radio, live streaming radio as podcasters, even though the opportunity is there. Matter of fact, those of you that were involved in our podcast or radio initiative with Live 365, if you are interested, we got some things cooking. Send Mackenzie an email. We'll let you know. We'll get you in on the ground floor. Something new we'll be announcing soon with a new partner. But I kind of slipped that in there, yeah. But anyway, that's what kind of happened over the last couple of weeks when I'm watching. Of course, I went to the NAB show. Lots of cool stuff. I'm a big video guy as well. I do a video podcast as long with, you know, it's a simulcast, audio and video at the same time. I do a live stream on YouTube. I've been doing some Facebook Live. A lot of fun, different types of ways to get out there. Of course, using Blab from time to time. But really, in the end, 99.999% of my audience still tunes in via subscribed RSS feed, subscribe via iTunes, by Google Play, subscribe on Android, one-click subscribe on Android, which, by the way, is getting astronomical traffic. So if you don't yet have a one-click subscribe on Android button on your website, naughty, naughty, you should, because those 13 apps that are linked to that one-click on subscribe are seeing terrific growth. And a few of those apps have actually now exceeded the global market share of Stitcher. Stitcher's on its way down. Android apps that are closely tied to the one click subscribe on Android is just booming. So make sure you have that on your website and that you're promoting it. If you're not promoting it and you're only promoting iTunes, you know, you're really shortchanging your ability to grow your show here. So finally tonight, to just kind of wrap up my portion here of the PowerPress podcast and adding some, doing some pinch hitting here for Mackenzie, is the IEB. As you all may know, we've been heavily involved for over 18 months working with the IEB on a podcast measurement standards document. Now, Angelo, our CIO, he's been doing a majority of the heavy lifting over there. He's, I would say, largely responsible for a big part of what the document has been negotiated out as. We really went into this way behind a Powerball 18 months ago, was able to stop the freight train that was running away that would have caused irreparable harm to the podcasting space had it been allowed to continue in the context of what it was heading down. So I'm real pleased with the progress. I've been watching the draft document, and I'm hoping that by Podcast Movement, we'll have a document that you all can review and read. Is it going to be perfect on version one? We hope so. But again, there's many, many parties that are involved, 20, 25, some companies that have been in there. We are, again, have been very, very aggressive in our presenting of evidence, presenting of scientific information, presenting of a logarithmic data, and basically presenting capital IP that we've spent millions of dollars to develop in our measurement platform to assure that when the document is produced that there is enough standard that we feel if another company says that, yes, we meet that standard, we could feel comfortable in taking their podcast measurement data. It's one thing to say, but another thing to prove that you're actually meeting the standard. So I don't know where that's going to lead, but at least we'll have a standard out there. Raw Voice Blueberry will always meet and exceed what that document says. And when I say exceed, we've been very aggressive in eliminating fraud, being able to squelch trends that many companies don't track and still count. You know, in the end, the guidance that I gave Angelo on day one when we started developing the stats platform that we have today was that I didn't care what the number was as long as I knew what the number was, and that I wanted to be able to take anyone's metric data. And if it was contested, I could go to court and stand in front of a judge and say, yep, that's the number, judge. And we'd have the scientific data behind it to back it up. It's never had to come to that, of course. It's we've never been called to an audit. But in the end, really what we want is as accurate a number as possible without shortchanging the podcaster on any legitimate downloads or plays. We want you to be able to have a firm grasp on what your audience is doing. Companies like ESPN, ABC, Moody Radio, and nearly 40,000 of you trust us enough to get your metrics through us. And if that's not the gold seal of approval, I don't really know what else is. Also, just kind of a funny after statement here, just kind of wrap things up today. I had a discussion with a PowerPress user, and it's the folks over at AfterBuzzTV.com. They've got 520 shows over there with 520 podcast feeds, all being served from a single server, single WordPress install powered by PowerPress. So if anyone tells you, and oh no, they're not using FeedBurner. So if one ever tells you that you should run your RSS feed on their site versus your own, there's evidence, my folks, that That is absolutely bunk. You should always control your intellectual property at all cost. Don't let someone try to feed you a song and dance about you having your RSS feed somewhere else, because in the end, it's just ultimately a control mechanism to make sure that you continue to pay them a check every month, or write your, you know, hit your Visa card or your PayPal account for hosting with us. PowerPress is free. We develop it for the community. Our competitors, our shows are hosted through PowerPress. But we do appreciate all of you that do host with us, that bring your business to us, that migrate your shows to us, that allows us to continue to hire people and do what we do and build great things. We just recently brought Mike Dell on as our, he's been contract tech support for a number of years. But we got to a point where I wanted to have Mike on full time, and your continued support buying products and services from us are allowing us to, for the very first time, give all brand new, this is what's going to be beautiful for our new customers, all new customers that sign up for our service will get 30-day of free phone tech support. Now, this is not consulting. It's purely tech support. It'll be available 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. Mike will schedule calls with people. Basically, you submit a ticket that you need to do a call. Try to use the email support first. If that doesn't work out, you know, you'll be able to set up a call to call Mike, and he'll help you get your tech issue resolved. But it's just another step that we're making. We're the first company ever in the podcasting space to offer a free phone tech support for new customers. No one else offers phone support. And it's just part of our ever-growing chance to help you build your shows. And at the same time, we want to make sure you get up and running and you're focused on creating content, not worried about the technical stuff. We want to help you through those stages if you have challenges. And of course, our PowerPress sites are coming very, very soon. Even more exciting. I told the team, make this the easy button of podcasting. And that is, that's the goal. And I hope we're going to achieve that. And I'm really going to be excited to offer all of you that are hosting with us a free WordPress site on it's available real soon. You won't need to have a WordPress site anywhere else. If you want to have your own .com with it, there'll be a small upcharge, but, we've got the ability for you to migrate over, and that's what we hope you'll do. And that's with a basic $12 a month hosting account. You get a free free WordPress site. But anyway, that's all I've got for you folks. Thanks for just kind of hanging out with me here. I've taken a lot of time of Mackenzie's show, so I hope she doesn't smack me around for talking too long. I'm sure she's already talking about the stuff in the on the PowerPress podcast site. But we sent out a newsletter a few days ago, so look for that in your inbox. If you haven't got it, just drop me an email, ceo@rawvoice.com. I'll point you at a copy of it, an online copy. And then just keep your email white labeled. Make Mackenzie at rawvoice.com and make Todd, CEO at rawvoice.com. Make us VIPs in your email so that you always know that if we're sending you an email, it's important. But again, if you have any questions for me, ceo@rawvoice.com. It's been my pleasure to be with you here today on Mackenzie's PowerPress podcast. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.